The city of Glendale is nestled against the Verdugo Mountains in the San Fernando Valley area of Los Angeles. And while it may have the feel of a small town, it's actually one of the biggest cities in LA County. Glendale has the distinction of being one of the safest places in the nation. FBI statistics show it's the fifth safest in the U.S. It's also home to one of the largest communities of Armenian Americans in the United States. That makes it a natural home for the Armenian American Museum. That center just celebrated its first phase of construction, and when it's complete, will house the Museum Plus, a cultural and educational center. Another Glendale jewel is the Museum of Neon Art. It's a landmark that has grown over time from a museum housing historic signs to an exhibition hall hosting cutting-edge electric and neon art, and a classroom to learn all about how the magic happens. We'll take a look at the city of Glendale. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. Today, we're profiling one of our local communities that frequently flies under the radar. We're talking about the city of Glendale. Doesn't get much news attention, maybe because there aren't a lot of bad things going on there. But joining us today is the mayor of Glendale, Artie Kasakian. And Mayor, good to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you
for having me, Al. First of all, I want to start off with something that I know you want people to know about Glendale, which is Glendale has this remarkable thing that is about safety.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Well, we are consistently one of the safest cities in the country. We are currently assessed as one of the fifth safest city in the country for our size and larger. And I think that's due in part to having a very good police force, a very good fire department, second to none. But also the community, I think, is what makes a community, any city safe. And we're very fortunate to have the citizens that we do, the residents that we do, who are active, who are vigilant, who help each other out in whenever there's a crisis. And I think all of that contributes to making Glendale one of the best places to live in Southern California.
It's one thing to be a safe city. It's another thing to be the fifth safest city in the United States, according to statistics. That's quite an honor, isn't it?
It is indeed. But it's something that takes a lot of work. It's constant. Obviously, we've seen upticks in different types of crime, property theft, violent crime in other parts of the county. We are the fourth largest city in LA County, and so it's a point of pride for us to be able to maintain that designation as a safe city.
Clearly, I've worked with your fire and your police departments on various stories here and there, but you have a good size police department there.
We do, and we just got a new police chief, Manny Sid, who comes to us from Culver City. We also got a new fire chief, so we have two new folks at the helm that we have a lot of confidence in, especially right now with the rains and everything that's going on with these storms that L.A. has gone through. I can tell you that we couldn't be in better hands.
Well, when we talk about the size of your force, how many people do you have? How many officers are there, do you know?
We have, well, some will say we don't have enough, right? But we have well over 200 officers in our police force. And our fire department is looking to staff up as well.
You know, it's not unusual in Glendale to see somebody who's homeless. In fact, it's not unusual anywhere in Southern California to see somebody who's homeless. What's the extent of your problem there, and how are you dealing with the challenge of that?
So we just went through a homeless count to see how many unhoused individuals we have. This is a regional problem. It's not exclusive to Glendale. You can drive anywhere in LA County. You see the tents. You see folks who don't have a shelter. One of the things that we do is we partner with our nonprofits, but we also have city staff that are right there on the spot. We recently just broke ground on another affordable housing project.
And that's what we're looking at right now.
Yeah. This is one of them. We also just did one at Pioneer, which is going to be 340 units, and it's going to be mixed housing for both seniors and families. Because what we're realizing is that a lot of seniors who are on fixed incomes, once you retire, you don't have an opportunity to go find new employment. They're getting priced out of the LA housing market. So what we're looking to do is to provide housing and keep our seniors in our community. And Hal, I'll tell you one of the reasons why that's important is because many multi-generational families, especially families from other countries, Armenian families, Latino families, we rely, and Asian families, AAPI families, we rely on our parents to help out with childcare. I know how often I rely on my parents to help look after my kid when there's stuff that's happening and I need a quick babysitter for a few hours or whatever it may be. may be. So if we're pushing our seniors who've lived their whole lives contributing to the community out of our cities, that's a disservice. Glendale is making it a point to keep our seniors here by building affordable housing for seniors, but also incorporating it with family housing, so affordable housing for families, and that'll be for the lowest income individuals in the city.
It sounds like you're saying it takes a village.
Indeed. I couldn't say it better myself. You're absolutely right. It does take a village. And I'll tell you, one of the points of pride for me in Glendale is that more than half our residents were born somewhere other than the United States. So these are folks who bring their traditions with them. They bring their culture with them. We want that culture to remain in the community, the richness to remain in the community, and that only happens if we can keep families together.
A lot of communities have increased cases of overdoses. You don't.
We don't, but we're facing the same challenges everyone is. We make sure that all our public facilities have Narcan. Fentanyl is a big, big problem. Drug use is a challenge. Again, Glendale doesn't exist in a vacuum. Sure, we're a great community, but any problem that our neighboring cities and communities have eventually will seep into Glendale. What we try to do is work collaboratively across departments to make sure that we're addressing them quickly, efficiently, and in the most, community service-oriented way possible. I think one thing that separates us from some of the larger cities, especially Los Angeles, is we're a smaller city, so you don't have the multiple layers of agencies and bureaucracy that may sometimes slow down responses. We pride ourselves in our police response time, our fire response times, and we're always trying to do better, though.
You have a lot of business out there. You have malls out there. How's the economy out there?
Well, we're back from COVID, certainly. The Glendale Galleria, the Americana at Brand are both major retail centers, along with our Brand Boulevard of Cars. I think we're one of the only cities that has two Apple stores. We have one in the Galleria, one at the Americana, both do incredibly well. And obviously, retail is a strong part of our local economy. But that's not just the only thing that makes Glendale great. We also have great parks. We have great housing stock. Again, safe communities. Our schools are fantastic. People will come to Glendale just so their kids could go to our public schools. And we have a lot of cultural resources as well.
Yeah, we're looking at a museum right here. And I think...
Yeah, that's Duke Majum Park.
Yeah, and we saw some folks that are playing baseball or softball.
Little League, that's right. The Little League season just started the other day. I got to throw out the first pitch. It was very exciting. I made it over the plate.
Well, from this hand to the one that threw the pitch, thanks for being here, Mayor. Good
thanks,
to see
Tom.
You. Artie Kasakian, thank you so much. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we look at one of the local treasures in Glendale. It's a place that glows brightly for those who have visited and the artists who have exhibited there. We'll talk about the Neon Museum right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. One of the highlights of the city of Glendale is a humming, buzzing, flashing wonderland of lights. We're talking, of course, about the Museum of Neon Art, an exhibition space that offers the best of historic neon plus cutting-edge art. The executive director of the Museum of Neon Art is Corey Siegel, and Corey's with us. Thanks for joining us here in the studio. And I guess the very first question is, let everybody know exactly what your museum is all about.
So the Museum of Neon Art shares about the craft of neon electric and kinetic art. It's all handmade. So we have a workshop where we teach how to bend neon, and we also give historic walking tours and have an exhibition space.
How long has this museum been there, and how did it start?
We've been around for almost 42 years, and we were founded by artists that were really interested in saving the historic legacy of Los Angeles. So they saw that neon signs were being removed from the landscape, and they started collecting them and sharing neon art.
And we're seeing some of the art in video right here. This is from your museum, and this is the kind of thing that people would see if they went inside. You know, this is growing all the time, isn't it? Like any museum, it's kind of organic in nature, right?
Oh, my goodness. We are constantly getting huge neon signs donated to us. We're kind of like a retirement home for signs that have lived a good
life. That's a good way to put it. A retirement home for neon. And so, you know, what is it that folks can see there? What is it that folks can do there? Because not only are you a place for neon that's historic, you also have classes to how to make it?
We do. Yes, we teach this 100-year-old craft in our electric lab. We also do demonstrations showing how we restore neon. And we have contemporary art exhibitions. Right now, we have an exhibition of Oliver Nolan's work.
And tell us about that exhibition. I'm stuck watching that glass blowing because that always fascinates me whenever I've seen glass blowing, whether it's glasses of mugs or even artwork. It's just so fascinating to watch the bending of glass.
It is hypnotizing. And once you try it yourself, it is magical.
Tell us about Nolan, though.
Yeah, so Oliver Nolan is a contemporary artist. He's 81 years old. He's a Vietnam War vet. He is a fascinating artist that has been honing his skill and technique since the 1970s.
And this is some of his art we're looking at right now?
This is actually a piece in our electric lab that's a bunch of random tubes from our warehouse.
It's so interesting. I mean, you talk about the artist Nolan, but is it like there are Rembrandts and Da Vincis and Van Goghs of neon art as well?
There are, yeah. So there are some really amazing contemporary artists that are using neon as their medium. And sometimes even the craftspeople, you can tell from the bends that they make in the tubes who has created that artwork.
And you have exhibits that travel and come in and go out and visit the museum and kind of like any other museum does?
So most of our exhibitions, you can only see at the Museum of Neon Art. We don't have too many traveling exhibitions at this point in time, but when you come to visit the museum, you see signage from Southern California and around the world, as well as artworks made by some of the brightest lights in neon today.
You also have this interesting thing where when you walk out of the museum, you can take a tour of Los Angeles, sort of the Museum of Los Angeles, looking around at the modern neon lights and the historic neon lights that pepper our city.
Yes, we have the Neon Cruise, which is a bus tour that travels throughout LA County, and we also do community-based walking tours. And you can also download those for free, a version of them on our website.
I'm curious, what got you into this? I mean, you've been in museums all your life.
Yeah, so for me, museums are a place of possibility. They're a place to see the world and think about it in a different way. And I kind of ended up at MoNA on a lark. I just saw a job listing and I thought, oh, that sounds funky. So I applied and my mind was blown by the skill of the craftspeople and the rich history and how MoNA can turn the whole world into a museum, because the more you know about neon, the more fascinating the built environment is.
Are you an artist, or are you like me and can just draw stick figures?
Well, I'm an artist, but I would say I'm pretty bad at drawing stick figures.
Yeah, that's the only thing I have a strength in. But for people that come to this museum, tell us a little bit of what they're going to see now. Lynn, they're going to see some of these random pieces of art, hearts and flashes. What else will they see?
Well, we have signage and technology from the 1920s to present day, so you can learn about how neon signs are made. You can also learn about Southern California history. You can see really fun, interactive artworks by artists as well.
So when you're talking about signage, you're talking about like I think the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel has a big neon thing on top of it, that kind of a thing.
Yes, it does. That's a very historic sign.
And so you have things that were gracing buildings at one point or another.
Yes, we have the dragon from Grauman's Chinese Theater. We also have the La Fonda Mexican restaurant, Dancing Lady and Man from Glendale, and a
You've
range
got some stars.
Of things. Yes.
You got some celebrity neon lights.
We do. We do. Some people will come and want to see the Brown Derby sign. And not only is it iconic L.A. history, but it also helps to tell community history.
I find the classes fascinating, something that maybe even I would want to take. But who takes them and how do they work?
The classes are so fun because it's a range of folks from all over the world. Sometimes people will fly in to take our classes, and it ranges in age from 18 years and older to, I think we've had 90-year-olds take our classes. So it's something that's really special, and it's a place where people bond because you're trying something for a new time and you're feeling matter transform in your hands.
And so and they have a common interest.
Exactly.
And that's often what bonds people together, is a commonality. So again, what does it cost to go in? What are the hours for this?
General admission is $10 for Glendale residents. It's $5. Seniors are $8. Kids under the age of 12 are free.
And one of the many things in Glendale that are there for your eyeballs to take a look at and your experiences to enjoy. Thank you, Corey Siegel. Thank you so much for joining us and telling us about neon art. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, an education and exhibition space is growing in the city of Glendale, all dedicated to the Armenian American community. We'll show you what it's all about right after this break. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and one of the unique features of Glendale is its population. The city, in fact, has more Armenians than any other city outside of Armenia itself, about 60,000, making up almost a third of the population of the city. Shant Sahakian is here with us. He is the executive director of the Armenian American Museum and Cultural Center. And with the large Armenian population in your city, it seems like just a natural place to have a museum like this. It looks at the culture, the history, and the life of people who have come from Armenia.
Yes, thank you, Hal. Pleasure to join you today.
Thank you. What is this place like? What is the goal here? How did it come to be?
So the Armenian American Museum is a dream many years in the making. But we're very excited to be in construction now in the city of Glendale and a couple years away from opening to the public. But as you said, it's going to be a place to celebrate culture, heritage, history, and a place where it will showcase the vast history and contributions of the Armenian people. But it'll also be a place that's inclusive and welcoming to all of our diverse neighbors and friends, so that we hopefully can together build a better community through the public programming and education that will happen through the museum.
We talked a little bit about this in the green room. Why has it taken so long?
Well, as we said, you know, many years ago, the community had come together and came to that same assessment. You know, here where there is a very large Armenian diaspora is a great place to build a museum and a cultural center of this kind. And we often hear, you know, why has it taken this long? And we hope to answer that with the opening of our museum in a couple short years away.
Okay, let's talk about that timeline. So a couple short years away is?
We're anticipating 2025 to be the grand opening to the public.
And this isn't a small price ticket. This is a big ticket item.
Correct. A multi-million-dollar project. And we're
How many millions?
We're looking at an estimate of over $50 million for the overall project. And we're grateful to have many donors, supporters, government partners, corporate partners who have come together to contribute the funds, knowing that it will be a center that serves, you know, generations to come and will pay dividends over and over over time.
Well, we're looking at renderings of what this place is going to be like, what this place is going to look like. And I guess my question to you would be, you know, what is in that building? What is it that we're looking at when we're looking at those buildings one after another there?
So the museum will be a iconic building, and we're very excited with the design. But more importantly, it's the programming that will take place in the museum.
And what is that programming?
So we will have a permanent exhibition, and that will be focused on Armenian culture, history, heritage, covering the millennia of history, but also Armenian Americans who have contributed to this country from their first arrival to today. We will also have temporary exhibitions where we hope to feature diverse cultures and subject matters, where you will have many, many different diverse cultures featured. And it will be an opportunity to develop that cross-cultural connection and really bring in the entire community to experience the museum.
And like I was talking last segment with Corey, will you have traveling exhibitions coming through?
Absolutely. We will be hosting a wide range of exhibitions. We will also have an auditorium, so we'll be able to feature performing arts, lectures, panel discussions. We'll have a learning center to serve our children, our youth, our families. And then if you're hungry, we will also have a demonstration kitchen, which is a very exciting feature as well, which is the concept of teaching culture through food and culinary traditions.
But we're talking about a place that has culture, artifacts, artwork, paintings, things that reflect the history and the culture.
Absolutely. It's going to be a place for experiences. And we look forward to bringing young students from our schools throughout Southern California. But it will be a place for all ages, all backgrounds to come and enjoy, learn about culture, heritage, history, and, you know, really be a living, breathing institution that is going to serve the community for generations.
How unusual is this? I mean, are there other Armenian American museums elsewhere?
There are Armenian museums throughout the United States. This will be the first of its kind here on the West Coast. And we are proud to be in the city of Glendale, but it will be truly a global center. And we know that it will not only serve the local community, but we know it's also going to be a arts and cultural destination for, you know, visitors throughout the world.
And we have less than a minute. Just when you say one of a kind, what does that mean? Yeah, other than they threw away the cookie cutter when you designed this thing.
Right. So we are looking to make a 21st century museum, a place that honors our past, but more importantly, builds our future. And so we are excited for the public programming that it's going to hold in what is going to become a very significant cultural center in Southern California.
All right. Sean, thank you very much. And we'll be back with more Fox 11 News in depth right after this break. Don't go away. Welcome back. Corey and Shan still with us because I have one more question I want to ask both of them. What do you feel the importance is of museums in a city like yours, the city of Glendale? Corey, you're first.
Museums are a place that bring people together. When you think about it, there's not a lot of places that we can convene and talk about, you know, our shared experiences. So having a museum, a space that we can join together, is so important.
And in many ways becomes a community center, Sean.
Absolutely. You know, there are, when you think of our children and the types of experiences, immersive, diverse, enriching experiences we want to provide them to create those next generation of leaders, they are those community public spaces, as Corey mentioned. And that's why they're so critical to the future of our community and all communities.
All right, Sean, Corey, thank you very much. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News in depth. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.